WNST, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. We're taking the Maryland Crab Cake Tour back out on the road. A little different this week. We're having vegan crab cakes. We're going to be at the Land of Kush on Wednesday the 18th. I have vegan people. Brooke Learman, Tharoo Vignaraja, Odette Ramos have all said, we're vegan. I'm like, fine, I'll bring the Maryland Crab Cake Tour to you. Betty Boop Scratch Off tickets, we'll have those on Wednesday, as well as our, this is my favorite new toy, the Goodwill truck I'm giving away. I've been cleaning out my closet and doing that. And my newest sponsor, I got the new shirt, Window Nation, baby. Greg Scher is here. He knows about sponsors and fun and radio. And I have him on every year this time. And every year I invite him on, he's like, let's do this after the draw. And I'm like, nobody cares what you think about the race. All we want to do is hear about the Derby, hear about the majesty of Churchill Downs, and basically catch up with you. Greg Scher, what the heck is going on? How are things at NFM Lending?
It's good to talk to you. Can you hear the noise in the background?
What are you listening to the radio? What are you doing?
I'll tell you what.
It's your ad.
No. It's no ad.
It was a
positive legislative session for pet lovers here in Maryland.
Why am I listening to the radio?
Huh?
Why am I doing a segment listening to you listen to the radio?
The Derby was awesome. It's always awesome. It was my 26th straight Derby. I think that the first or second one I ever went to, I was with you. Maybe you can pull a picture up.
We looked good. I know we looked good. I sent it over to you. We were young. Yeah. See, even Smolin looked good. He looked young.
It was you, me, and my good friend Adam Smolin, who didn't make it this year. He's probably made it to half of them. But it was...
He was too busy at a Foreigner concert, right? Something like that?
He loves Foreigner.
I know he does. I know he does. Band. I have my Foreigner belt buckle. I'm gonna make him jealous next time I see him.
That's a good idea. It was an epic Derby. You know, they're all kind of epic at this point. Seems like every Derby we're kind of caught off guard by something. We've had three in a row. You know, we've had the controversy the first time in 144 years. The winner was taken down. That was 2 years ago. And then last year you had Baffert's horse wins the race, but they don't give him the purse. They disqualify him because of some ointment. And then this year you've got the second longest shot in the history of the Triple Crown of the Derby come in Rich Strike. And here you have it. I mean, I guess things do really happen in threes, but
well, we got Preakness this week and I can't even spend a buck on the 80-1, the winner here. I mean, I remember when Spend a Buck didn't come here. It was a big deal. I mean, you were a kid. I was a kid. I was working at the paper. I mean, my God, it's 37 years ago now, right? Like it's unbelievable. I still remember the first horse I ever touched was Ferdinand. With Charlie Whittingham on the back, you know, in the back at Pimlico. And all these years later, we're waiting for racing. And you and I talk about this every year because you love it. You love the Derby. You've always loved it. There are people in town that love horse racing. But every year, it feels like it takes another little dip further down the way from relevance. And when the Derby winner doesn't come, it just sucks. I don't know what else to say. I mean, it sucks for the sport. It sucks for the fans. It sucks for Pimlico and the people and for people that are really into this. People want to see a horse run for a Derby, run for a Triple Crown, excuse me, after they win a Derby. This is disappointing. And I don't know how to couch that any other way for the event and for what we're trying to rebuild this thing here for our city.
Well, I think it's a couple of different things. It does suck when the Triple Crown winner, Derby winner doesn't come for sure because you want a possibility of a Triple Crown winner. But the Derby is a freakish thing. A lot of stuff happens in a 20 horse field, and we got one of those big surprises. We've had more than a handful over time in the last 25 years. Giacomo and so many others have come in at high prices that ended up not doing much after that. That's the one. That's one issue. The Preakness holds 14. The actual Preakness race, you can have up to 14 runners. The Derby has 20. It looks like we're looking at a field of 8. So, you know what? That sucks too. But the trade-off is that it looks like finally, unlike all these other years, because we do talk about this all the time, and I can remember sitting on the porch as a member of WBAL maybe 20 years ago with Chick Lang, and my monologue was all about, is this going to be the last time the Preakness is in Baltimore, and what's Stronach going to do with it? And we had the bond fight going on with Miller and the DeFrancis and all that. But finally, there's a plan to renovate Pimlico. And there's going to be potentially a big bond sale, and they're going to renovate Pimlico. It looks like the Preakness is going to stay there. And by the year 2026, The track will be repositioned. The grandstand will be brand new. So I think there's a lot to celebrate, Nestor, if this really happens.
Yeah. I want to keep the race. I want it to be bigger and better than ever, but then the Derby winner doesn't come this year. You know, there's something about the industry. Last year, Baffert, I did a segment with Baffert the next day. All hell broke loose, right? You came on at that point last year as well. The controversy is not good. You know, the pageantry is good. You know, when the war emblems and the horses come here and we get excited about them, we have the Smarty Joneses and the Big Browns and another 3 weeks added and a Belmont bus. When those things happen, it changes the tenor of the sport, I think, for the other 11 months of the year.
Yeah, but it could have been an injury, too. There's so many things that could sideline a horse. To not show up at, you know, for the second jewel of the Triple Crown. I totally get what you're saying. There've only been, how many Triple Crown winners have there been now with American Pharoah and Justify? I think it's now 14, right? Something
it was
like 12 that.
12 forever, right? It stopped at 12 back in 78 or 79, right?
Yeah. So, I mean, yeah, exactly. So the likelihood of a Triple Crown winner, I mean, I don't think people show up for the chance to see a Triple Crown winner. You're going to disagree with me. I can tell, but I think
they do it Belmont. I don't know about the Preakness. I mean, the Preakness always has the Derby winner except for like the times we've mentioned, right? So there's always that bet against it, bet on it, especially if it's a long shot, and say it makes the race more interesting here. I think it makes the race more interesting that people go after the Derby winner. There's no Derby winner to go after here. And this has become a little bit more of a conversation in regard to the health of the animals, that maybe these races shouldn't be 2 weeks apart and then 3 weeks apart, but it's always been that way. There's been a lot of thoughts about waking up the industry around these races so that this doesn't happen, that this, unless there's an injury to the horse, that this wouldn't be something you would elect to do because you just won the Derby and thinking that this would be bad for the horse, good for your purse, whatever it is. The industry has always needed to make this better than it is over the 40 years of me watching it, quite frankly, Greg.
Well, there's a lot to that, right? Like attracting younger fans. What is the sport doing to attract younger fans? I can't see much happening. I never have been able to see much happening. And I think that you get the old guard out of there and get some younger blood in there that understands kind of the mindset of today's gambler and how fast and the action they want and influencers and good music and all that stuff. And to the credit of the people at the Preakness, between the Kentucky Derby, the Preakness and the Belmont, with everything that goes on in the infield at Pimlico with the performers that they've had, which it took them a long time to figure out, get the people that are shit-faced out of the infield. And let's actually bring some real quality content there with the corporate tents and everything. I think Preakness does it as well or better than the other two.
I think the Preakness has had a lot of thought put into it, right? I mean, the Derby was never broken. They spent $1 billion 15 years ago on fixing it up. And you can speak to Churchill Downs and what the city does and what the state of Kentucky does and what horse racing means there and what it's always meant there, that kids don't go to school on Friday. I mean, it is literally a civic holiday that is celebrated by everyone. And I haven't been in 15 years, but I would say if I showed up, I'd recognize what I saw 2 weeks ago, right? Yeah. Like it's still a BFD in Louisville, Kentucky and all around the state of Kentucky.
That's apples to oranges though, bro, because they're the one. I mean, they always go into that race with the promise, hope, and chance of a Triple Crown on the line. We don't have that benefit.
So certainly don't have it this week.
Yeah, I mean, true that, but there is something cool happening. There'll be a filly running in the race. Dwayne Lucas has the filly Secret Oath that won the Kentucky Oaks, and this horse ran well in the Arkansas Derby, just got nosed out for third.
You go down early, right?
Oh, yeah, I'm there. I get into Kentucky on Thursday morning, and I go to Thurby, which is like...
What is that?
Thurby is like, you know, they wrapped around a whole day right before Oaks Day, so they call it Thurby, which is kind of creative. You know, good marketing by them, and it's a whole day.
How many people show up?
I'm not sure the exact number.
When they get really good bands and stuff? I mean, is it something where Cheap Trick comes in and plays, or what? What happens?
No, I don't think it's like that.
Oh, okay.
I just think it's a way kind of to break the ice, kick it off. And then, of course, Friday, there's a lot of 100,000 people or so, or 70,000. And then Saturday, about 150,000. Churchill's always being renovated, by the way. I'm not sure it's ever going to end. But you know what? You know what never changes is the beauty of the people. I mean, there are some really, really beautiful people there, and that never changes. And there was a nice buzz in the air. It was cool.
It's always cool, man. I can't wait to get back to the Derby. Greg Scher's been my friend and my competitor going back in the last century. How many years have you been doing mortgages, dude? I mean, you've been at NFM a long time, right?
Well, let's see. When I got demoted from WBAL.
You didn't get demoted. Come on.
I got fired, pretty much.
Okay.
I think I got fired. Would you say
I got fired at Sporting News? We've all been fired. Fired by 100 clients over the years. When Pizza John's doesn't sponsor me anymore, I don't call it fired, but that's just where it's at.
Hey, look.
It is what it is.
Hey, Beauchamp called me may he rest in peace. He passed away recently. Shout out to Jeff Beauchamp. He liked you, by the way. He really did.
He did.
I know you guys. No, you guys flirted a couple times about you coming to BAL. Let's be honest.
I never. Trust me, never.
They wanted you, though. Can you say that?
They never wanted me. They have never. I have never been offered any job or gig ever. The one guy who tried to call me and talk to me about a job. You want some inside poker? Bob Phillips called me after I was way established, after I was syndicated, after I owned the radio station, and spoke to me like I didn't really own the radio station, which was really strange. I mean, it was like one of the most bizarre conversations I've ever had in my career. So at one point, 1300, this is way before Odyssey or any of that, 1300 called me and asked me about how my career was going. I said, well enough for you to call me, I guess, but I own a station. I'm not going to come be your morning show host. He was talking to me about being the morning show host. But that's the only inside job I got for you. Greg, I've only walked in the BAL building. I did Pinbusters in 1978. I did with Roy Parker. I did a story on 98 Rock in 1988. I went in there and did a story for the paper, and
you were revered, though. There was talk within those walls.
Dude, you're making stuff up.
I'm not. Why would I do that?
Listen, I have no. I like Chris Beauchamp. Jeff Beauchamp never liked me. Never, ever. There's no way he would ever hire me.
That's not true. His office. We had conversations about you. So I'm giving. Look, you weren't in there with us. I'm telling you right now. You were highly respected and feared.
Feared maybe, because I was fearless.
Highly respected. I said highly respected and feared. But to get to your question, when I was demoted,
this is your life, Greg.
Whatever happened to me, I got introduced to the mortgage business 25 years ago, and you know I've told you before, I ended up opening up my own company and then kind of consolidating and merging with NFM.
What is NFM? NFM's a big firm, right?
NFM has got 1,400 employees right now. We did $10 billion in mortgages in 2021, close to 30,000 homeowners we helped. So that puts us in the top 20 nationally. We're not Quicken Loans or Loan Depot, but we're, you know, that next tier after them. You know how you talk about like the best quarterbacks and you got like the Bradys and the Rodgers and, you know, the top five. And then you got that other group right there.
Matt Stafford won. That's us. A Super Bowl. Joe Flacco won a Super Bowl.
Joe Flacco did win a Super Bowl. Is he still sticking around? Is he still lingering?
You know what? I was at the owners' meetings where the owner of the Ravens blew me off 6 weeks ago. And I was talking to Joe Douglas, who liked my hair, by the way. I got long hair now. I'm not going to let it out because it's a little wet. And I said to Joe, I said, what's up with Flacco still playing? He's like, dude, he loves football. He wants to play. He may play till he's 50. That's what Joe told me. Joe Douglas said that Joe Flacco loves football and still can play and still can throw it and is still happy to be a backup and get in and play when he gets an opportunity. So Flacco's going to be playing a little while longer from what I understand. I haven't talked to Joe, but that's the Joe update for you. So just like you're going to be selling mortgages for a long time.
Look, let's go from the past quarterbacks to the present quarterbacks, because I do have a question and an opinion.
Okay.
Should they give Lamar all the money?
You're an anti-Lamar guy, aren't you?
I'm not going to call myself anti-Lamar, but I don't.
You're a not give him the money guy.
I'm a not give him the money guy. Absolutely.
I tend to be on your side in this because, but I also know they turn the whole team over to him, right? So like they draft for him, they draft linemen, tight ends, yeah. running backs. They built the team around him. It feels like they're going to give him the money. I don't know what the money is anymore, dude. The money before the creep down in Houston that assaults women got record guaranteed money from this criminal owner in Cleveland, who is an incompetent owner as well. The poor, poor owner, the Cleveland Browns owner. And they jettison Baker Mayfield. They give him all this money. I don't know where the right number is for Lamar. So for me, it's not don't sign him long term. It's $85 million guaranteed, five-year deal at $47 million a year. I'm okay with that. $235 million guaranteed over the next 5 years? I'm not okay with that. I'm not okay with that. I'm not okay with that against the cap. And to your point on the field, he will not become a better quarterback. He will become a lesser quarterback. He doesn't throw the ball well enough. He doesn't see the field well enough. I don't think they build the team around him well enough from a passing perspective. It's not what they want to do.
Yeah.
So I would say caveat emptor. Let the buyer beware on this one. Yeah. And I would say whoever the buyer is, I'm a buyer at a price. And I think Eric DaCosta is. And I think Steve Bisciotti is. I don't think Steve Bisciotti is a buyer at $230 million guaranteed.
Well, did he learn any lessons from Flacco, do you think? Do you think he sits back and goes, you know, I made a promise to Joe, win me a Super Bowl, I'll give him all that money. But you think that the last time he anteed up, he felt like he got his money's worth? Put the Super Bowl aside, because this is moving forward.
I don't think Joe didn't give him his money's worth. I think that the team wasn't very good around Joe. I mean, Joe had a game one in a playoff game in New England, and the secondary gave up 2 touchdowns. He had a 2-touchdown lead. So there are some things about – I'm a Joe defender. You know why? It was a hell of a parade. It really was. I mean, I know we all piss on it. We defecate on it. And Joe sucks now, and he's not going to the Hall of anything. And, like, he's not getting the statue or anything. Pisses me off when people dog Joe Flacco around here.
I'm not dogging him. I asked you guys.
No, I'm just saying. But
I love Flacco.
So to say that the problem with paying any quarterback 21, 22, 24% of your cap, and Mahomes will find this out, and whenever Cincinnati gives Burrow the money, don't even get me started on Cleveland, because they're not winning anything with that kid. They're not winning anything with that kid, and the guaranteed money, they will rue the day they did all of that out of desperation. But I'll say this with the Ravens and Lamar. There's a window here. They were good enough to win last year had he not been injured, not everybody not been injured. They were winning even when everybody other than him was being injured. So I don't diminish his value for what he does running, tossing the ball around, creating havoc for defenses all week long at defensive coordinators. But then there's the winning 4 games in January and February that has to happen in order for him to be worth that money.
Yeah, we're on the total same page. Had you asked me what I thought, I would say what he said. So I'm just going to say what he said.
What do you think? Why do you think the way you do in regard to not giving him guaranteed money?
Well, I think you made the point that I feel like, and that is that he's not going to get better as a quarterback. It's going to diminish now because he relies so much on his legs, and there's only so much tread on those tires. And over the long haul, it's very difficult for a quarterback to sustain a high level of play when you're relying on your wheels. It's very difficult. You're bound to get injured.
That's the first thing I thought, dude. The first night I saw him up in Canton, Ohio, we're up in the press box looking straight down at that little high school field. Ray Lewis is going to the Hall of Fame. He comes out and he starts running into linebackers, Bears linebackers. And I was wincing. I'm like, oh my God, I think we've gotten comfortable with it. And then I go and ask Harbaugh and Lamar if running the ball 21 times was a bad idea against the Vikings. And they scoffed at me and pissed at me, and Harbaugh got mad at me and walked out and like all of that. Then he stunk in Miami and hadn't played since. So running the ball 21 times is not a winning strategy. Maybe it's a winning strategy on November 3rd. It's not a winning strategy on February 14th or whenever they're going to play the Super Bowl.
Well, and he doesn't have the other part of what you said is, and I feel like this is, he doesn't have the versatility and the field vision and the accuracy really to execute. I mean, it's easy for him to pretend like he's going to run and draw up the DBs a little bit and then throw to Andrews going, you know, cutting over the middle, but it's not going to win you Super Bowls. And so that's how I feel about him. So I think you got to have someone that can be a pocket passer, a really good pocket passer, in order to make it. But, you know, we go back to this, the thought about paying a quarterback. I mean, Trent Dilfer, like, why can't you just build a great defense and have a quarterback that just doesn't lose games for you? I'd rather see that and put the money in other areas.
Well, the Trent Dilfer thing has come up a whole bunch here this week as well as lost opportunities. We were talking about Barry Trotz a little bit this week with the Caps and okay. John Miller and Davey Johnson and just bad decisions. I mean, generally the Ravens make very good decisions as an organization. I have some confidence that there is a number that DaCosta would do a deal with Lamar Jackson, but I don't think it's a foregone conclusion. I don't think if you own a number 8 jersey to think he's still going to be around here in 26, this is 22, 23, 24. They'll attach him next year if they don't sign him. But I think if you're starting to talk about 26, 27, and 28 right now with Lamar Jackson, that's money I don't want to spend.
Yep. We're on the same page, man.
Greg Scherer's here. He is NFM Lending, a longtime talk show host at WBAL, doing the mortgage thing. But more than that, you're like my Derby buddy. You go to the Derby every year. You love horse racing. Give me some pageantry of Preakness. And as a guy that's been to 26 Derbies, and I've brought this story back a lot, right? Like, we're this close to getting World Cup games, Greg. It's unbelievable. Like, if we were to back into doing this. But we've had the Kentucky Derby winner for 140 years, however many years it's been, right? And we've managed as a city, and you see the city behind me, Bud Light nights, Miller Light nights, bands, crab races, balloon races, like all of this stuff that was a part of it when your dad was doing, people were talking with Oprah and like all of that. And now, what is it? What could it be? Who's going to really oversee? It kind of reminds me of the Orioles. Like, who's going to fix it? You know what I mean? Adley Rutschman's not going to fix it. It's going to be somebody like Larry Lucchino. It's going to be smart people on the business side that are going to fix it. What fixes the Preakness? If you and I, knowing we're young, handsome guys, you know, we know a lot of people. If they made us in charge of the Cray Paper Committee and said, Greg and Nestor, you've been to Derbies. You know how they do the hot browns down there and the roses and the pretty girls and the pink party and all of that. How can Preakness be resurrected? Not horse racing, not that everybody reads the form and all that, but how can this become a Super Bowl for us that it should be, that it's always been in Kentucky?
I think it starts with the facility. You know, you go to the Kentucky Derby and you see Tom Brady coming in and you see Drake and all these other celebrities just pouring in by the hundreds, if not thousands. There's nowhere to go if you go to Pimlico. Where the hell are you going to go? There's no like high-end place and experience to be had. And when they fix that, it's kind of that build it and they'll come thing. You take that and you match that with some savvy on the social media side, get some influencers involved, get some good attractions and in terms of bands and things like that, and then it's going to start to steamroll. And you'll pick up steam, but they need to start with renovating the place. And that's what they're going to be doing. Hopefully in the next 3 years, the next 36 months, we'll have a brand new looking facility. I still question whether or not it's in the right part of town, but you know what? You ever been to Churchill Downs and walked one block over? It looks a lot like it does around Pimlico.
Very much so.
So I'm fine with that. It's totally good.
Ever walked outside of Belmont? I did 2 weeks ago.
No, tell me what happened.
I went to UBS to see John Mayer and spend the day with my friend Barry Trotz. It was his last day as coach of the New York Islanders. I can't say that he knew that day, but I did make it to Elmont. You've been to Belmont a couple of times, right? For the Triple Crowns, right?
Many times, yeah. I saw American Pharoah, you know, win the Triple Crown. I saw American Pharoah with all three legs. That was quite a throw because that had snapped that streak. You know, it hadn't.
I did Big Brown and Smarty Jones the first two. What was the third one? Funny Side, maybe. I did not do the first one on that one. I had two chances to go to all three. The American Pharoah, I missed the Derby. I went to the Preakness. But the Triple Crown, now that that's been solved, and maybe we should take this even further in because I had Dick Girardi on 2 weeks ago at the Derby. And I said, Dick, every year I text Bob Baffert. Every year Bob Baffert texts me back. Every year Bob Baffert comes on the show. I think Bob Baffert's coming on the show this year. Now, I haven't texted Bob yet this week, but I am thinking about doing it because I know he's done a little bit of media and we're old comrades. But the vilification of Baffert after what happened last year, the pulling down of the biggest star as a cheater. I had Randy Moss on last year. He's going to come on again this week. I got Mike Tirico this week. I'm going to have Dick on, Marty McGee, the usual suspects. Donna Brothers is going to be here. Randy Moss came on last year, and the first thing he said to me, and it kind of like took me back a little bit because I have a lot of respect for Randy. He's a journalist on the football side, the racing side, all of his journalism. He said, horse racing is a dirty business with cheaters, and it's a problem. It's a real, real problem in the sport. Cheating's a big, big problem. I don't know that I felt that way walking around the track with Nicky Zito 30 years ago or D. Wayne or even Baffert when he was a little younger, looked more like Ric Flair, that we LASIK added, you know, all of that that was going on with horse racing. I felt like they were running a cleaner ship. Now, all of a sudden, the more I sniff around and they've thrown Baffert out, the more it feels like baseball when Rafael Palmeiro's no speaking and everybody's on the juice. And now it feels dirty to me. And it feels like on top of all the other issues they had, throwing Bob Baffert out, no bueno. It's not good. It's not good.
Yeah, he did himself in. So I know, I mean, I have a lot of respect for his longevity. And I've always felt like, I mean, he's had a lot of bad tests come back. I mean, dozens and dozens over his career. So, I mean, he's
Lance Armstrong now, right? He will never be thought of as anything but a cheater at this point.
Yeah, I think it's
because
a little
it's gone on.
I don't agree with that. I think it's a little bit different. I think if they, you know, make the statement that they're policing, like Lance Armstrong, he was the athlete and the cheater at the same time. Baffert he's removed from the athlete, right? So if they're doing the proper homework on the horses and doing the proper testing before and after the races, Baffert can re-enter. He's an icon. There's no question. He's done a lot to keep the sport together, but I think the stakes are higher now. The amount of money they spend and the amount of coming in from, from the United Arab Emirates and the princes and all this stuff. It's the stakes are so much, they continue to get ratcheted up. And I just think Baffert kind of fell into the do whatever it takes. And there's a lot that they can do to cover things up. You know, you can have a blood alcohol level of something outrageous, but take a pill to offset the test. That these are the games that they play with these horses. They over-medicate them and then put something in to mitigate the results and testing. And Baffert, he's been skirting the line now for years and years and years. It's tough. I definitely think there's an asterisk though. You know, I mean, he's a Hall of Famer, but in that way, you know, people will always wonder how much of it was due to the doping. But, you know, it's like,
I hate cheaters. I've been cheated in my life. So I hate cheaters. Right. So, you know, all of baseball's issues with cheating all those years. And now you have Correa and Altuve running around cheaters, Belichick and Brady cheaters. I mean, just cheaters. I mean, then they would cheat you. It really is. It's disappointing as a grown up that we put the stink eye on this stuff and that there's been so much success and so much money in cheating. College basketball, college football, right? Lance Armstrong. We go through these scandalous things that happen. Horse racing was one of those things that didn't need that at this point. To be bringing Baffert down, I just think that's a long way to go. It's much like Brady with the Flategate and all that, bringing down the biggest star. The NFL survives. Horse racing's already on the fringe, and Bob Baffert's the one human who talks that when he comes on the screen, you know who he is and what he does.
Yeah,
that's a tough way of looking at it. You're on the inside of horse racing. It's different because you love it a lot and you do it. But I just think for the rank and file sports fan who doesn't have a Preakness or a Derby or a Belmont come to their hometown, to get into horse racing and to think that it may have been as dirty as the old movies were, or, you know, 100 years ago when they're doing really untoward things to horses, that, and the horses dying in barns and all the stuff that happened out at Santa Anita, just it's It's rough for the industry. That's all. I mean, I don't think it needed a scandal.
Well, you're looking kind of from the outside in. Imagine if you were the runner-up to the Derby 2 years ago. You own Mandolin. You know, you spent all that money in training bills and hundreds of thousands, if not millions of dollars to get your stable going. It has to be an even playing field if you are, and that's where it starts, right? If you don't have the owners, if you don't have the breeders, if you don't have the people employing the groomsmen and all these other facets and links in the chain, then you don't have horse racing. So I think that it just got to be too much, and that there's just so much inside industry pressure saying enough is enough. There has to be retribution. Otherwise, potentially I'm getting out, because if all that evaporates and you don't have anybody buying horses anymore, the quality of the races go down at a time where you don't need that either. So I think they had to draw the line here.
Well, you know, I have John Martin on from the Maryland Lottery every week, and I always use this term when we talk about sports wagering in the state and it coming online. Dude, it's got to be on the up and up, right? I mean, it's just got to be on the up and up, right? And when it's not on the up and up, there should be hell to pay for cheating baseball players, cheating horse racing owners, cheating football players. Like, I think we've put up with too much chicanery.
I agree. Well, I think that, you know, this is the other side of the argument. It's one thing for Barry Bonds to juice up, but he's still got to hit the ball. He still has to make great contact. He's still got to hit that 92 mile per hour fastball 420 feet over the center field fence. The same way the horses, you give them a little bit more ointment. That doesn't mean they're going to win the Kentucky Derby. So I don't take it away from Barry Bonds altogether. I don't take it away all the way from the horse either. Like, I think they're talented horses. I think Bonds was super talented.
But if you're betting on it, you want to think that the horse doesn't have the clear or the cream, right? Like, literally, that's part of the confidence that the whole industry lives in. You mentioned the horse trainers and the owners and the riders and like all of that is based on it being on the up and up, which is why the NFL said to Calvin Ridley, you can't play football. That you're right. I mean, but the NFL's welcomed this in. Every other ad's a gambling ad at this point. But when it's not on the up and up, you start to really get a confidence issue across any industry if it's not on the up and up.
Well, look, you're talking to somebody who had 13 live tickets to Mandaloon in the Kentucky Derby last year. I would have hit the pick five, the pick four, the pick three, daily doubles.
How much?
$38,000. Not a penny short. I'm not exaggerating. Not a penny short. And I got beat by a cheater. And not only did I get beat by a cheater, on top of that, they later disqualified the cheater and gave the winning purse to Mandaloon, but as a bettor, because it went official, I don't get paid. That sucks.
That's horse racing, and that's not good. That's the fact that you have that story is not good.
It blows. It's horrible. What can I do? You know, you kind of, if you're into the, you just sort of have to accept that there's shenanigans that are going on all over the place, and it could have easily been that my horse had a little bit of an edge and just was able to pass by the winner. I don't know. I don't want to think about it too much because it's not going to change the outcome.
Shenanigans. I love that. I love you. Got to get you back on the radio. Greg Scher is here. He is at NFM Lending. They do mortgages, but of course, Greg still does the Derby, still does the Preakness. You still love sports, dude,
love it,
right? I mean, you still love sports.
I love sports. I love the NFL and I love horse racing.
But you're not Adley Rutschman. You're not ready to go back to Orioles baseball just yet.
No, I, you know, the strikes and the way those guys treat people in the locker room, I don't know that I could ever really be an avid baseball fan again. I think I kind of got over it. It just takes so long for the, and then the Orioles and how bad they've been for so long. I choose to focus on other things. You know, I love the NFL, man. I think it's the greatest product ever.
Well, it's pretty good. And let's hope it's on the up and up. You know what I mean? Like, that's really, we all do hope that now that we're wagering on it. Greg, I love having you on, man. And I'm sorry we only do it once a year. And I see you pop up on my Derby timeline and all that. Hopefully one day we'll get to a football game or something. All right.
It's great to see
you,
man.
We'll go to a concert or we'll go see Pearl Jam or something. Have some fun. All right.
I love you, man. You're the best.
I appreciate you, man.
And even WBAL loved you.
BAL, WBAL.
Just so you know.
WBAL never loved me. I'm sorry.
See you later, brother.
Yeah. He's Greg. He's usually with confidence on all things. I believe everything you've said in the segment, except for that, just so you know, you're shaking me. Greg Scherz at NFM Lending. You can find him out. He's on LinkedIn. He's on Facebook. He's everywhere having fun. I'm going to be around this week. We're talking Adley Rutschman. Luke and I are certainly going to be talking some Orioles baseball before the week is over as well. And we've got Preakness on the brain and Adley Rutschman on the brain. And I'm taking the Maryland Crab Cake Tour on the road. We're going to be at the Land of Kush on Wednesday. I have some Betty Boop scratch off tickets. It is the vegan edition of the Maryland Crab Cake Tour this week, which will make it even more fun. I am Nestor. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. Big thanks to our newest sponsors at Goodwill and our dear friends at Window Nation. It's my first time I've worn the peace shirt, so I'm digging it. Appreciate that. Back for more on BaltimorePositive.com right after this.